order.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Approval of minutes. We have one set of minutes.
I move we approve the minutes of Tuesday, August 16th, 2016.
Second.
Do we have any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Stop the piles. All right, I got a little bit of correspondence. Friday, September 16th, 7:30 p.m., Killingley Community Center, 185 Broad Danielson. The TVCCA's RSP Veterans Coffee House is featuring the Navy Band Northeast Top Grass Quintet. So that will be going on, and we can attend, or anybody can attend that. So.
That was the Army Band I go, but Navy.
Oh, okay.
Wait.
So you're praying. There's no such thing as Army-Navy rivalry, is there? I don't know if you got this or not. You may not have made a copy. I got it from the office of Governor Gina M. Raimondo from Rhode Island. It was dated August 24th. So, dear Thompson Board of Selectmen, thank you for reaching out to the Governor Raimondo's office. The governor appreciates all the feedback she has received regarding the proposed power plant in Burrville. As you may know, the governor recently attended a public listening session in Burrville. She is thankful the community invited her for this conversation. While the governor does not sit on the Energy Facility Siting Board, which is conducting its own independent process, she found it important to hear directly from the people. She appreciated that so many people shared their personal stories. There has been a lot of talk about what the governor supports. To be clear, the governor supports the health, safety, and well-being of Rhode Islanders. She cares about the environment, and she supports listening to all sides of the conversation. The listening session in Burrville was an important discussion, and it will continue. While the governor does not have a formal role in the review, she has a meaningful role in ensuring that the process is fair and independent, and that the public has faith in the process. Thanks again for reaching out and sharing your feedback. Please do not hesitate to contact our office for further assistance. It must have been her constituent, Brad Inman, that sent that out. So they did get it, and which was
responded.
And responded. Basically what I did expect. We did receive from DEEP. It's a great pleasure to announce that your local fire department has been awarded a volunteer fire assistant grant to assist them in protecting your municipality. The Community Fire Company, Inc. has secured $2,500 after making applications to the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection, Division of Forestry. These funds are available through the U.S. Forest Service Volunteer Fire Assistant Program. Allows for 50% reimbursement of the cost of their project, but a maximum grant award of $2,500. Funds can be used for training, water handling equipment, communications, prevention projects, safety supplies, suppression gear, and other related items. And again, it's just let us know. So congratulations to them. This will help them with their budget and getting their equipment. Putnam Bank, the Northeast Connecticut Chamber of Commerce invites you to join fellow members of Putnam Bank's Business After Hours at the Bradley Theater, Tuesday, September 13th, 5 to 7 p.m. $7 for members, $13 for not yet members. Celebrate our vibrant community and let us entertain you. So I can want to take a look at it. It'll be in the office, and we can post that. provide exceptional care, meet generations medical providers. It's for the Family Health Center out of 202 Pomfret. And they're just letting us know that they're out there. Chamber of Conference is having coffee with the commish, which is Kevin B. Sullivan, Thursday, September 22nd, 2016, 7:30 to 9 a.m. Grill 37 Pomfret, 16 for members, 24 non-members. So it's having breakfast with him, and he will be having a conversation probably about a variety of topics, revenue forecasting, et cetera, that pertains to where the state budget is. All right. We do have a news release from Connecticut Public Health. Department of Public Health recognizes National Protect Your Groundwater Day, September 6th. Thousands of Connecticut residents rely on groundwater supplies every day for drinking and domestic uses. Approximately 23% of the state's population is served by their own residential well. September 6th is Protect Your Groundwater Day. They encourage his private well owners to locate their wells, inspect for structural deficiencies, evaluate surrounding land uses to protect it from contamination, and have your well water tested. If you own a private well, groundwater protection is especially important. Proper maintenance and operation of your system is essential to water quality and health. That came out today. And that's what I have for correspondence. Anybody have any
correspondence?
Yes. No. Dana?
Nope.
Selectmen's comments. I have a bunch of them.
Do you have it?
We'll pass this. I don't know if may not have gotten this. I'm not sure. Current status of the Quantico Road Bridge. Deck is in place as of 9-2. September 20th is still the goal to reopen. If they can move it up, they will. But they did lay the deck out. And
sorry,
they were
September 20th?
September 20th. There was a delay because of the additional abutment. There was a possibility if this goes fairly quick that they may be able to at least open it back to one-lane traffic, so we don't know that as of yet. But they were out there Saturday, and that's when I took this picture, and it's nice to see the deck and stuff moving along with that as well. So if anybody wants to take a look, I have that up here. We did hold a FOIA class on the 25th. I think you attended that, Steve?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Two classes by Tom Hennick, estimating roughly 25 people total attended.
Did you get to go?
Yes, I went to the afternoon class. That went very well. I think there was nine of us in the second. Most of them went to the first. It kept the offices going and so forth. So there was a lot of good questions and stuff, and Tom Hennick answered them all. And he said, if we have anything, to feel free to call him. That's what he's there for. Okay.
Gina, did you get the chance to?
No, I was on vacation that week and let Ken know I wasn't going to be able to go to that one.
Okay, energy plant Killingly. At the NECOG meeting, I met David Griffin as the representative from their town council to NECOG. He made a point to acknowledge that the town of Thompson took a stand on the project. He was appreciative of that and wished that other towns in the area would also take a stand on it. So he made that an open meeting. And I did get a summary of progress on the power plant from Renee King this afternoon. She stopped by. By unanimous vote, Patchogue, Harrisville, Rhode Island Water Board denied InVen Energy's request to open the MBTE well. They also denied the digging of a new well and selling water to InVen Energy. InVen Energy is now looking for another water source. The Burrville Zoning Commission unanimously voted against allowing the plant. Blackstone Heritage Quarter and 20 plus other civic organizations have come out against the plant. There are two more hearings with the siding board, one at the end of September and one in October. She'll email the dates. Killingly, there is a meeting September 8th at 7 p.m. at the Killingly High School, and it'll be open for public comments in the first 45 minutes. I got that from Renee. Okay, sewer project. We should know our options to complete after the 9:15 meeting that we will be having with the contractor, Mary Annapolis, and the town. Look forward to that.
Can we also, to determine, I know they have various options and obstacles and so forth, but all these, none of these are at our cost, right? And these are all, they have problems, they have issues, but these are not, any of these are our cost. They have a contract to do the job.
They have a contract to do the job.
And if they have obstacles, we don't have obstacles.
That's correct. There is a couple of clauses in the contract that are open for interpretation for a dry hole, if you want to call it that, or with the,
that's the best way to do it.
A dry hole, an unfinished hole, and with the rods being stuck, but that is open to interpretation of the contract. And at some point, that will be addressed probably, which is afforded to them some form of mediation.
Okay.
Okay, but we're not at that point as of yet.
Okay.
We're still trying to see where we're going to go to get this thing through. And
thank you.
The contractors, and we will all have a meeting. They've been working.
So they might come back on us.
It's very possible.
Okay.
Okay. I am on the NECOG Paramedic Intercept Review Committee. I was asked to do that last week. Our contract is up with the Paramedic Intercept Program, which goes 2 to 3 years. So right now they're reviewing. They went out for proposals from various vendors, and they will be we will be reviewing them, interviewing them, and answering questions that we have based on what they submitted. That's going to be this week. It's going to be on the 11th or the 12th. We're waiting for Dr. Wexler, which is medical control out of Daykimbal. So Monday or Tuesday of next week, when he's available, we're all going to sit down and go over the proposals and interview. NECOG is currently working on the building study. They've done a variety of the offices. They still have a couple, but because of tax season and assessor, it's been busy the past month with taxes. So John will be back on that to finish up with them. As everybody knows, the Board of Finance had concern about the roof of the Library Museum up on the hill and the request that we had made to restore that, the building. They asked us to come back and the historical to see what other type of roof may be able to be put on it. Because it is part of the State Registry of Historical Buildings and so forth, we drafted a letter and sent it out for request in writing as to what we can put on that roof. And we should have that back this week. So that'll give us something, whether we have to stay with the slate type or whether we put metal, so we're
tile.
So that was done and sent out.
Did you expect to answer this week?
It went out today.
Oh, it went out today.
It went out today. So we're hoping to, she had been already in conversation with us. She had reached out, Marianne.
Okay.
But I said, look, put it in writing. I want a official so that way we have it. It's not hearsay. And we sent it out and see also if we could apply, because they do have that grant, as we had talked about at the Board of Finance, of $50,000. Whether or not we could work that in if we go for USDA, if that's the case, because they have their own rules and everything. No, but whether or not we can, because sometimes you can't start work until it's crazy.
Nice try.
But we asked to see if we can get a clarification on that. DOT safety study. I had reached out to DOT about Route 200, Buckley Hill, Buckley Hill, Riverside Drive. by the KFC, bad intersections, Walker Drive, Walker Road, 31 and 197, we get repeated accidents there. Blaine Road intersection by Belding Mills, and of course, the additional traffic flow that is now with the Dollar General and Dunkin' Donuts for crosswalks and so forth. They will be coming out in the next week to 2 weeks, to meet with me, and they're going to do a study and see what they can or cannot do with it.
In terms of signage and...
Signage, maybe a caution light, a street light, whatever, but they got to come out and do their study. So they did contact me Friday. So as we all know, we have the Solar Information Center session at the Library Community Center at 7 p.m. tomorrow night.
Ken, on that, we're making that a Board of Selectmen meeting?
Yes, because the three boards will all be there.
Are we going to have a meeting? I mean, we're talking
about... We're going to open the meeting, turn it over to the information, and then close.
Somebody asked earlier.
Yeah, exactly. Just in order to cover, in case somebody says you had a illegal meeting, just to cover. We did the same thing before when we had about the Speedway, when they were doing the road track. We opened the meeting, it was turned over, answer questions, we concluded, and that was it. And this is something that I will comment that we need to think about. The EDC has that $50,000 that was added to the line item by the Board of Finance. As we all remember going through the budget process, we do need to start to think about how we're going to approach and what we intend to do with this. With the possibilities, there was a study that was suggested. We do need to start working on this. So put your thinking caps on and see. I mean, we know what the EDC is doing with their stakeholder and trying to get that going, the branding study and so forth. So something to think about that we do need to address at some point. And that's all I've got.
Were we able to get the selectmen's update out to the remaining zip codes?
Yes.
Or where do we stand up?
That all went out.
Okay, thank you. That was my only question.
Yep, there's copies at the library, there's copies in the selectmen's office, there's copies out on the benches, town clerk's office, etc.
You just mentioned website. I had looked into some website options as well, and in speaking to someone who is also a web designer, he resides in California, and we work with him for the nonprofit that I work for. He says that he will not touch Joomla, but he prefers WordPress, and WordPress is a program that we used to create one of our new websites less than a month ago that I helped him put together, and it's a very easy program to use, and there are other programs that you can use to kind of incorporate and embed and use different codes to make it look even more aesthetically pleasing. So just wanted to make the board aware of that. WordPress seems a lot more user-friendly for other department heads and executive assistants to come who are going to be utilizing that type of program. So just something to consider when we actually look at what we're doing with our website. How's that?
Ken, you didn't ask our recording secretary to change the way she takes our minutes or what she records.
I did have a conversation with our town attorney. I did have a conversation with Tom Hennig. And it's supposed to be a summation of all minutes, not verbatim, okay? And basically to keep it as simple as possible and not, you know, say things word for word.
So did you direct our recording secretary to change?
No, I haven't directed anybody to do anything.
You wouldn't do that without consulting the other members of our board?
Not as of yet, no.
Of course you wouldn't.
No, I haven't directed her to do
that. I don't think any selectman or select woman should do that. One of our selectmen has gone ahead and did the RAD call on recordings, and I'm going to change what she records. If she wants to reduce what our recordings secretary records, I think that's inappropriate. If you want to change what our recording secretary does, Shayna, bring it up to the board and discuss it in public. Don't send a message to the recording secretary saying she should change what she records, that she should record less. Do not record the comments that our citizens make. It's inappropriate for you to do that, to send a message to her without sending it to the other select people and without doing it in a public forum. That's inappropriate. You should not do that.
I believe I did ask that this be discussed in our next agenda.
You sent a letter to the recording secretary saying you should record, you should reduce what she records. That's inappropriate. If you wish to change what's recorded by the recording secretary, have the decency to bring it up in public forum to the rest of the selectmen.
It was a discussion that I had with town attorney, Tom Hennig.
Tom Hennig's not the town attorney.
No, he's not. He's the Freedom of Information, Steve.
Right.
You know who he is.
I know who he is, yes.
Okay.
This is with the town attorney.
I can have a discussion with whoever I please.
Of course you can. I'm not saying you can't.
So I reached out because of the incident that we had on comments that were made at one of our meetings that could have been libelous, as we are aware of.
Yes.
Okay. I had the conversation as to what is needed and so forth, and we were... And everything that I got from between Mr. Hennig and attorney St. Ange,
right,
town attorney, was less is more, not to get overly verbatim.
Fine.
Okay. Which is fine. No decision has been made by any means.
Are you and Shayna having conversations about what the recording secretary should record? Are you?
I can have a conversation in caucus with Shayna.
Not about town business, you can't.
Of course I can.
Not about town business.
No decisions are made. I can bring her up to date, just like Paul and Kirsten did when they were of the same party.
You can have caucus about party business. You cannot talk about town business.
I can have conversations.
You should
give
Mr. Hennig a call.
I will have. That's not... Believe me, I will. That's
and
not
you
an
certainly
issue.
Don't want to send a message to our recording secretary about what she should or shouldn't record, telling her to minimize what she records without bringing it to a public forum. That's inappropriate. That's inappropriate.
She wasn't directed to change anything, Steve.
I think it would be safe to trim down some of the content within the minutes. What does that say to you?
Okay, it's her opinion.
That's to the recording secretary.
Fine.
It's inappropriate.
Nobody made any decisions on what to do or not do at this point.
That's a direction by a...
And that's for us to have a discussion on.
It wasn't brought up as a matter of discussion. It was direction, attempted direction, provided to the recording secretary of our board. That's inappropriate. Let's not do that again. If we want to provide direction to the recording secretary for our board, it's the town's board. We do it in public. That's inappropriate. I wouldn't do it. No one here should do it.
We will have a, we'll put it on the next minute. We can put it on tonight if you like.
I think I made my point.
No, the point is fine. I do think at some point we need to address this and be careful of what we put into our minutes.
That's fine. I don't mind addressing the issue, but we don't as individual select men and women tell our recording secretary what to do. We can talk that as a board. We can make a decision as a board, but as individuals, we don't individually tell the recording secretary what to do without the other members of us discussing it and coming to a conclusion. That's inappropriate.
Point taken.
Nobody
was directed to officially do anything.
I can see what's written here. Ken, what's written here says she wants the minutes trimmed. That's recording less information than we normally record. That's inappropriate. The town deserves to hear, to have written down what happens in this meeting.
I'm all for that. We always have our minutes there.
Well, this is saying the opposite. This says trim, this says record less.
As we record the actual meeting through the recording of the meeting via the tape recorder.
Okay, we don't have to get verbatim.
No, I know we don't. And the minutes are not verbatim.
I beg to differ. At times they are.
Our minutes are not verbatim. We have a recording that does record exactly what's said. But what is recorded, we don't need to provide additional direction without us all deciding what's appropriate.
And nothing has been changed. She is recording everything appropriately as she has been writing them.
Someone's attempted to change that. Shane has attempted to change that. And that's inappropriate.
Do you have anything else, Steve? You sure?
Well, I do have one
other thing. Please
do. You asked me on Thursday or Friday this week, agenda items.
Yes, you were supposed to get back to...
No, I wasn't supposed to get back. I asked you to put road list on the agenda. I asked if we'd please... For at least the Thursday.
That is my oversight.
All right.
The discussion that we had...
That's a fine answer.
No, it's my oversight. The discussion that we had was, if you had any agenda items, please let me know.
I asked if you would please put road list on the agenda again.
My oversight. We will add it to other business.
Just to explain what I would like on this road list is... We got a list of the priority of the roads that needed to be worked on. There was something like 42 roads
correct.
On the list, prioritized. Thank you for that. I asked if we could have at least the top 10 and a cost of what it would take to fix those roads. I got back 7 of them with a minimal amount of cost identified, the amount of asphalt required to fix 7 of them.
And we talked about that.
And I asked if I would please give me a little more information than the amount of asphalt needed for that. How about trying to give me what the cost would be if you were going to do it for someone else? What would the total cost be if you needed to do that? And that's all I'm asking for. What would it cost? If we were going to do this for another town, what would we want to charge them to do for 10 roads? That's what I would like, please. Give our citizens the idea of what it costs to repair our roads, just the top 10, not the 42 roads on there. Give the town's folks an idea of what our cost will be going forward to fix our roads. Not all 42, because there's a lot, and I don't want all that work done, that's too much.
Can't do
but
much
the top 10, I appreciate it, but that was a month ago. Just a few, just the top 10 roads. Thank you.
Are we adding that?
Motion to add it.
Second.
Discussion?
I don't think you're prepared to do that.
I'm prepared to have an open discussion about
okay.
it. Okay. All in favor, we'll add it under other business.
Aye.
Citizens' comments. Mr. Landry.
Since you're just talking about roads, I'm going to talk about roads first. Signs and lines are information, and they're standardized. I've been looking on a lot of roads because I can't go my normal ways right now. In Bridge. I don't see anywhere at Thompson, when you get to where a road's joining into another road, there's supposed to be an opening. Well, you know that this is where you turn the old left, that's where when they're coming off the road, they're going to the new road. We have passing signs. I brought this up before. This needs to be corrected. We look like a bunch of yokels, first off, and we're waiting for an accident to happen.
Hal, what are you talking?
It's all over town, Ken. Everywhere I'm
passing going. Zones? We don't even have lines in most of the roads.
Well, with the roads we do, you get the first one I noticed, and I haven't been up there lately, is on Hill Road, where Chase meets it. passing lines, double set of passing lines on a corner that's supposed to be open. No lines whatsoever to show that that's where you turn or that's where people come in. I'll start making the list everywhere I am. And if I hear somebody getting hurt, I'm going to tell them, sue the town, because these are standardized information. Signs and lines are supposed to mean the same thing.
Now, could you explain a little more about what you're trying to describe? You're saying, like, where a road intersection, there shouldn't be any lines, that's what you're talking about?
Right.
Gotcha.
You go on the state roads.
I know what you mean. I was talking.
You hit the lane, you hit the
So there should be no lines where you were
right.
Going.
That's telling you this is where you're supposed to turn.
I just was wanting to make sure I understood what you're saying.
In our infinite wisdom in this town, I think somebody ought to be going out with black paint, whoever did this, and fixing these on their own time, not on my dime. It's stupid. We're waiting for an accident to happen. Someone's going to see this, the car's in front of us, oh, I can pass and start passing. You know.
Well, you're right about the double lines, Al. They're not supposed to be any. Leo has been made aware of it. They're supposed to correct those and take them out.
Okay?
And as far as the double lines themselves, the only time that a passing zone is in place is one dashes. It's not twos.
Well, they
okay.
have two dashes.
We have people that are not very bright, and they probably will pick it up as a passing zone. Point taken. I already had talked with Leo about this.
All right, well, I brought it up 2 weeks or a month ago.
Yep.
I do want to see something done in this before.
They need to be taken care of.
I was listening to Winnie the other day, and I was saddened to hear some misinformation or a lie. I'm not sure which it was. From chair of the school board, Olkowski, where he's talking about the solar project, and he starts going, you know, we're the ones who were brought up this whole solar business and got that solar committee going. And, but you know, we want to have our say, blah, blah, blah. Well, he forgets that there was a renewable energy committee that about 10 years ago had SunEdison ready to plaster the top of that school roof, which might be the biggest single footprint of the school, elementary and high school, in Connecticut. And the building committee, in their infinite wisdom, 2 days before the meeting with SunEdison, was going to supply the panels, do the labor, no cost to the school, only savings to the school. Here was the deal. Day one, when they opened up, they looked at the CLV rate, and that was your rate for the next 10 years. You know how many times that rate's going to go up. In their infinite wisdom, 2 days before the meeting, they canceled, so we're not interested in this. So when I hear this misinformation on radio, I'm not too happy. I know there are a bunch of liars up there in the first place, because I hear it all the time. When I'm down at the finance board, it's like almost every meeting I can call Joel and I. Now I'm very disgusted that it's Bill Bukowski that could be misinformation, but I would think is he should know that this one. I guess that's all I can think of. I have more stuff. I think that I'll put my hand up. But I do get, you know, a lot of work went into that. We had SunEdison committed, ready to go. And Larry Grove followed up on this when he became selectman. He called him up. And they told me, because I had a discussion with him, Mr. Grove, we were ready to have you way up at the top of the list. Now we have 300 projects. Maybe call us back in a few years, we might be interested, but you guys are the ones who messed it up. We're not interested in following through right now. You know, so we have had opportunities. Oh, here's another thing. We can't do it with, you know, maybe this isn't our only option to do it with the town hall and the school. Maybe we ought to spread that around as savings for some of the people right in the area. And there are things to look at. The schools aren't ready to go on it, which I don't know if they should or shouldn't. I haven't heard the, I'm coming tomorrow night to hear what I can see happening. But maybe we shouldn't say it's dependent on the school. Maybe Mary Annapolis or St. Joe's would be willing to buy some of that. We share the savings. There are schools and they save us money. Every kid who's going to one of those schools from Thompson saves us $18,000.
Tom Pimentel, Police Federal. So Laura, about the minutes, you don't have to do exactly what you said. But, hey, Neil, if it wasn't for the minutes in writing, I would have not uncovered a lot of stuff because the tapes get lost. The recording tonight, who do I got to go see to get this recording of this meeting tonight? Does anybody know who I got to go see? There's a Tina Fox. She can't do it. I got to go see Mary Ann, or I got to go see Marla Butts or someone like that. Marla Butts, on her agendas, she puts it, citizens' comments, so you can't even talk about anything in town unless it's on her agenda or on agenda items only, which I think is dead wrong. So my point to it is, that's why I bring the tape recorder. Shane, you're absolutely right. The recording says everything in black and white. But the recording disappears, you have nothing to reference. I've took recordings that Mr. Ballenke has said to Ms. Forrester, and I've took what they put in writing and compared the two. Sometimes, without those two, you can't proceed forward because, oh, we didn't say that. Well, here it is right here in writing. Here it is on tape. So it's a good thing sometimes, Ken, that we have certain things in writing. I don't expect her to write a book, I understand that. But unless we can get a vault that has our recordings, where I can go and get a CD, and somebody can make me a copy in the town clerk's office or whatever, and give it to me, I don't trust the recording's not going to disappear. The minutes are pretty much locked up in the town clerk's safe. The recordings are everywhere. That's why we bring in our own things, because of that reason. And it's not your boy, don't get me wrong, it's just, if they could guarantee us that that tape is accessible tomorrow, or the next day, or 3 days from now, then I would get a recording. That's why I had that. For that reason, because I've been lied to, I've been misled for 2.5 years now. Not by this board, but things around this board, the previous administration, and on the wetland side of it. So you can go back 10 years and look at minutes, and I've caught people in lies with those minutes. Not to hurt you, to help me and help people in town. And that's what people don't understand. I have people stand up at a podium and say point blank to my face, Bob Messier never would say that. I made minutes 2 feet by 4 feet long. There it is in black and white. He did say it. The non-use of Star Road will be put in writers. I've been lied to and cheated. Without those minutes, I couldn't present that at a meeting. So I understand downgrading some of it, but my citizens' comments, you can summarize it. But when factual stuff is presented, I hope that we record it because, oh, we didn't have the battery die, we didn't know the recorder wasn't on record. That can happen. It has happened. Not in this town, other towns, and this town. So, to me, you're forcing me to attend every meeting with my camera. That's what I've been doing. I was at the P&Z meeting, and the wetlands meeting, to keep everybody in check. So I agree with certain things. I don't think everything has to be said. But you don't have to. The law says you don't have to. But technically, it's what the people want. We should maybe vote on it because certain things you don't need to put in there. I understand that. But that's all I'm saying. I just think that we should think about that. Who does the recording? I shouldn't have to go see Mary Ann Shinai for a tape on Board Selecting Committee. I should go to see Marie. She has to have that program. Here you go, Mr. Mental. I'll have it to you by Wednesday. I shouldn't have to go see someone I don't like. And that's the bottom line. And I'm not afraid to say it because I don't. I don't like the way I've been treated in this town the last 2.5 years by certain members in this town. So So I shouldn't have to go to them. It should be, go to the selectman's office and get my tape collection, or go to the town clerk. That's where they should be kept. Because I guarantee you don't have tapes for 20 years there. And you should. You should, because things that were done 20 years ago can resurface. Just like you have no paperwork about the back parking lot of this town hall. Big article in the paper, we don't even own the back parking lot, 15 feet off the door. That's sad. Guarantee we probably don't own one house, we probably don't own that road. Until I do my research, I'm going to figure it all out. These are things that I'm upset about. So, we paved it, we did this, and that section of New Road, same thing. We didn't own that section. It was deed over to the town. So these are things that these minutes produce. I would have never had those minutes if someone didn't write, Alan Rawson had to deed over a section of New Road to the town of Thompson, 2007, so two of his house lots would be on town accepted road. Otherwise, they wouldn't be. I wouldn't have that. So that's why I'm taking my cause on that. So those comments, you want to tone that down, that's fine. But people don't need to hear what I say every minute, but my point is, those minutes are important for certain things like that, for evidence. We shouldn't be in a town where I have to go dig up evidence, but that's what I have to do. That's all I have to say. Oh, October 3rd is that meeting for the borough, at 6 p.m. on Sunday, Monday. Thank you.
Anybody else?
I'd just like to follow up on something, Brian. So, you know, we don't want word for word as a transcript on the minutes. Minutes says it all. Couple minute reading tells you what happened at the minute. If you want a transcript, you can buy it. But saying that, the selectmen and citizens all have a right, and I've done this two or three times in the past, to say, I want what I'm going to say transcribed basically word for word until I say, you know, we get to the end of what your main point is. You say, okay, thank you. Now I'm going to go off on a tangent that doesn't need to be, you know, in the word for word. But then, where's the first thing you guys have that? I won't get into the subject.
Anybody else? Hearing none? Moving on. Okay. I met with staff, Bob LaChance from the library, Allison as the director, and myself. We interviewed several candidates on September 1st, and after viewing the several candidates, the consensus was to recommend the hiring of Sarah Zapka for the recently vacated position to the Board of Selectmen. That position was vacated from Mr. Petrie that went to the Highway Department, as we are aware. He is still working his few hours over every week over at the library until such time as we get the replacement. So I am looking for a motion to hire Sarah. She was the best candidate that we had interviewed, and it was unanimous between the three of us. She's from town, she is eager to work, and very enthusiastic, so.
Make a motion for the hiring of Sarah Zapka for the position of evening custodian at the library.
I will second the motion. Any discussion?
How many hours is this position?
19 hours.
And there's already another person in there for 19 hours?
They have somebody during the day that comes in at 6 in the morning till 10.
So that's 4 hours times. So
it's 19 hours also for the morning position.
So roughly a 40 hours.
You've got 38 hours between the two.
Roughly 40 right. Hours a week for one for that building?
Yes.
So we have essentially a full-time custodian for the library building? We have a 38-hour custodial position for the library building.
Yeah.
And we really need that. For that little building, we need essentially a full-time person.
for what both people do. They cover both aspects of the building.
Well, I'm sure they can find stuff to keep themselves occupied for 30 hours. Maybe play cards with each other. I don't know.
But I think that's really accusatory without 30, knowing the facts.
So we need 38 hours worth of custodial work for that little building. Is that what we're saying?
Currently, yes.
We need to spend taxpayers' money to spend 38 hours worth of time for that little building. Is that what we need? Because here's an opportunity. We don't have an incumbent. There's an opportunity. We maybe save some money. We really need 38 hours worth of custodial time for that small building. It just seems like a lot of hours for a little building.
Were you able to discuss, Ken, at the... I'm sorry, we had a motion, we're in discussion right now.
Yeah, that's why I wrote that in note 6.
Ken, during the interview process, was the mention of the hours or the overall position and or need at the building discussed at all?
There was discussion about the need, what the person does out there with the systems, setting up for meetings, cleaning at the end of the day to be ready for a lot of what's going on for the morning, whatever is set up at night, the person's on call. It's actually according to what Allison said, the main custodian, based on a lot of what goes on in the evening, is more important, is more involved, I should say, not more important, but more involved, because of the systems, some of the repairs that are done at night, the types of cleaning that are done after the public has left the building. Okay. And there was no mention of reducing any of the hours at this point.
I'm sure it wasn't considered. I mean, I think that's maybe our problem.
It was
never considered. Maybe here's an opportunity, because here's an opportunity to actually reduce costs without having to actually fire anybody. Here we can reduce costs. We have a position that's vacant. Can we just plain reduce costs in town with it? We don't have to fire anybody, because that's hard to do, and I appreciate it. It's hard to actually let somebody go. That is tough. And I understand that. I appreciate that. Nobody wants to do that. That's hard. But here's an opportunity to maybe not add staff without actually hurting anybody. We can actually save some money for the town. It seems incredible to me that we need 38 hours worth of custodial help for one little building. That just seems incredible. How can we spend that much time in one building? It just seems incredible to me.
Did you talk to Allison prior to our hiring of the...
I'm sure if I asked Allison, she'd need more. She wants, or she would need another person. I just don't think we... I think we should think about this a little bit more before we make a commitment to add another body there. You know, we've always had it, so the answer is going to be yes. Of course, we need that. I would suggest that we see if we can do without. See if we can do without and save some lives. I know it's a change. I know it's hard to take change, but let's see if we can save some money. See if we can. Doesn't it seem like a lot of hours for the building? Doesn't it to you?
Were you asking?
I'm asking you.
I don't work at the library, so I don't know exactly what the building's needs are. Just being a patron at the library, I see the size of it. I've seen
30 hours worth of custodial help for that building. It just seems incredible.
I think it would have been fair to hold discussions prior to going out and then doing the interviews and then coming here tonight.
That may be, but
no, I would also agree that this would have been at the time of the budget when we were doing it, even though...
We didn't have an opening.
We did and we didn't. While we cannot touch their line items based on how their budget
this is. Isn't the library. This is the building. This is not the library. We can't touch the library. We can only look at the library in total.
Well, correct. Well, I will stand corrected. You are right. This is
the building. This is different. So we can look at that. And let's not find Steve, you didn't bring this up last week, or a month ago, or 2 weeks ago, or a year ago, or 6 months ago. Steve, you should have told me about it before. Let's not use all those excuses to say we shouldn't think about it now. Here's an opportunity to think about it now.
I don't think it's an excuse, it's an observation.
Okay.
Because it's the second time that we've found ourselves. Oh, no, it's not blame. Because I wish Allison would have been here then tonight if we had questions about the needs of the building, because it's hard for us, we're not experts of the building's needs and, you know, to have collected that data ahead of time for this conversation.
But if your reason for going forward with this is because I didn't bring it up earlier, go ahead and blame me for it. I'll take it.
No, I'm not. I mean, that obviously.
But if you want to blame me, blame me.
No, I'm not saying save some money. This would be nice.
What about the
next budget coming, without a doubt?
Next budget coming, there won't be an opening. Here's a chance.
There's always an opening to do anything.
But here's a chance to do
without actually firing somebody. You can reduce hours in a new budget.
But here's a chance to do it without firing somebody, without reducing somebody's livelihood.
Okay.
Which is very difficult to do.
What do you suggest, Steve?
Hold off on hiring. See if we can do live within what we've got now. Let's not hire someone and see if we can manage with 19 hours a week. You think we can manage with 19 hours a week of permanent custodial help in a building that size? I mean, that seems like still like a lot of custodial help for a building. Could you think we could do that? Could we try and see if we can live with that amount of resource for that building? And maybe save a position and a lot of dollars? Could we do that?
I don't know without looking at the schedule, for example, of, you know, how many classes or meetings they have in the evening to see how many hours that takes up.
Maybe somebody will have to rearrange their schedule and they have to, maybe they can't work in the morning and they'll have to work in the evening or have to adjust their schedule or something. But can we adjust somehow so we don't have to hire another person? Can we save some money for the time? I know it's the easy thing to do is to spend the money, but can we not do that? Easiest thing right now is to vote yes, hire this person, and we'll all go about our business. That's easy. It's easy. It'd be easy for us. Can we do it? Can we try that? So,
Don, why are you shaking your head?
He's absolutely wrong.
I didn't say I wasn't going to talk to Tom.
I just,
this is open for discussion. We're having a discussion.
Yeah, Tom.
Right. Public comment usually is not had in discussion. So if we're going to open it up.
We can control, we can do whatever we want in our meetings.
Well,
you're the chair.
That's what I'm saying. So if that's going to be.
We don't have to entertain it. We can entertain it when we so wish. If it's constructive.
Yeah, I think it's fair to entertain.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I don't have a problem. There are certain things that we may not want input from, depending on the subject.
It's a small audience.
Just so we forget, though, historically, when there's a motion on the table that's been made and seconded and it's up for discussion, historically, the board has.
Tell you what.
So
I will withdraw my second. You're going to withdraw your motion?
Yes.
Okay. So we're having, this is the recommendation, we're having discussion on it. Okay. Okay. You wish to comment?
19 hours a week. 4 hours a day, is it 5 days a week, yeah?
Roughly.
So you got to clean those bathrooms, you got to wash those floors, you got to break down tables. I don't know, Steve. I think at night, I see the other guy when we go to all those meetings. This guy's putting away chairs, he's setting up rooms, he's washing the floor, he's cleaning the bathrooms. I don't think that's like the kitchen. There's a lot of stuff that they do. We're not there to see it, but I'd like to see the schedule of his tasks. But you hired this girl, even told this girl, and she had a job somewhere else and gave it up to get this job in the town. That's just like firing somebody to me. I don't even know who this girl is, but she. You made a commitment.
We have not made a commitment.
There's no commitment until it's passed by the board.
So you have to, I would have to look at the schedule and say that to Allison, and I know what you're saying, that she could use two people, but when I go to work, I have a schedule, I write down what takes the hour to do this, 2 hours to that, and some things you run into snags, but it's got to be routine. They must know how long it takes to clean those bathrooms. The morning shift, you get all kinds of kids there. You got to clean the bathrooms at night, too. I mean, our job, my job here, custodians, three shifts. Three! And there's a little bathroom here, a little bathroom there, but you need it. You got to wash constantly, keep it coming with mud. What if you got to wash up the floor? Winter's coming, and there's mud and salt water. Well, I got to go. I only can work. You have to look at all the facts.
Let's hire five custodians. We might need them.
They've been doing it, and there's going to be a reason why they're doing it. I'm sure the guy is sitting there playing cards. That's my point.
Tom?
Okay, Tom LeBlanc, Wilson Road, town. A couple, two, three things I brought up. Number one, you said the hours from 6 in the morning till 10, and the person leaving does cleaning, you said, in the evening? Well, if he does the cleaning in the evening, what does the guy do at 6 o'clock in the morning and come in to clean the library?
They both have their routines that they do, Tom. That's all I can tell you.
Okay, and Shane also mentioned that we're not experts on the janitorial procedure of the library. So in honest judgment, you don't really know if you do need one or you don't need one. You're just, you know, saying, oh, there was one before, let's do it again. That's, you know, probably not the best way of watching the taxpayers' dollar. That's all.
Al?
Andrew 33 Randolph. I see both sides of the situation, having been an engineer up at the University of Nebraska. Let me tell you, the morning janitor probably vacuums. Huge amount of vacuum. But as a janitor, there's four bathrooms there, I believe. There's floor care, window care, tremendous amount of windows. Setting up the news and stuff goes on. There is, you know, my worry is, are we going to be Polish Thompson once again, have a nice building, let it fall to shit? Because that's what all our buildings are doing. We build and we let them go. Look, we got the middle school, we've given them money for 10, 11 years now. They haven't bothered to do repairs because they have a bottom line and they use it for payroll. Well, you know, so what's going to happen? That roof or whatever's wrong is going to collapse. Then we're going to have to fix it no matter what. And the people are going to be in the pocket. So I'm next. Yes, I'd like to save money, but I don't want our buildings to fall apart either. This building's falling apart. You know, library is probably our nicest building. I mean, we built $37 million. Project up on Hill that we didn't need. We'd lost 500 students instead of gaining students. You know, it's like, it seems to me that's where our money, once we did that, it seems like ever since then, we're just throwing money, left and right, and everywhere, and not being too sensible about it. We need to fix our roads. I'll tell you what roads are going to cost, Steve. Roads, when they reach a point, have to be rebuilt at over $1 million a mile. Once we get, let's say a scenario, which is probably not too far away. 5 years in a row, we have to rebuild 5 miles a row. That's an extra $5-6 million a year, above and beyond where we're at now, because we've let our, every year they take money from the roads. It's like, I got up and said at the finance board, I said, your kids are on this road.
Let's focus on what we're talking about. On the cleaning. So,
well, this is, if we don't take care of our, what we have, it falls apart and costs us money. You know, so I think it should, if you want Allison to come here and maybe go down and look and see what the people do. And take a look at how many windows there are. They do work outside that building. You know, there's stuff that happens overnight. Sometimes they gotta get out there and clean the first thing in there and people show up. You know, one time there was,
I don't want to
species
staff,
put into the
I don't
the
want to I don't want to staff for the worst case. I don't want, you know, there's
no.
Occasions when you might need even more people. But you don't staff for that. You staff for working my kids. I don't want to staff for...
And I'm in the middle.
So I don't want to staff, I appreciate that, Al. I don't want to staff for more than we need, and I think here's an opportunity, maybe we can make us a little cost. Still, I don't want to have a, I want to maintain the building, but we're not talking about carpenters and plumbers and electricians. These are just...
That's where maintenance...
It's normal maintenance.
Sorry, as I said, I was a head janitor up here. That's where it starts.
So...
It's keeping something in good shape there.
This is not a huge building. This is a small building there.
It's not that small. What's the square footage? Does anyone know? I don't know, I'm asking.
I don't know.
Well, it's, you know, not only is the library, it's community center. There's a lot of work up here, and it's the problem. I would suggest go down and do a little stuff, maybe all three of you and with Allison.
20,400 square foot facility.
20,000 square foot.
Oh, wait, no, hold on. Let me verify. Yes.
That's library and community center?
Correct.
This is a good sized building.
With a lot of traffic.
We have two flows of traffic, one in the morning, one in the evening.
With the hire essentially 40-hour a week person in total for me, for custodial work, that's all the job. Let's see if we can save a few bucks.
So basically, you don't want to hire a person here?
I'd like to see if we can do without it. Absolutely. I don't want to hire a person. I want to see if we can do without it.
I got one last thing to say. I agree with what Steve is saying. Give it a shot. And if it doesn't work out, yeah, you do it. I mean, I understand from a business standpoint, the man saying, what if they can get it done in 19 hours? Why would you spend another 19 hours? So you have to do what Al said, do a study. I mean, it is our money, it's the taxpayers' money, and I understand what we're trying to do here. But also, you're looking for someone to do some kind of work in here?
That's a different subject.
Different subject. That's all I...
The library staff as a whole, just to let you know, ends at 8 o'clock. They're out of the building, in the library itself. Building stays open till between 9 and 10, depending on meetings. All right, that person in the evening is the one that secures the building and locks it up. So if we do not have, and that's 5 days a week, that there's meetings going on, we hold a tremendous amount of meetings in that building. Okay, the guy in the morning will come in, open the building, up, do whatever, say in the wintertime, shoveling, cleaning, et cetera. He'll do the vacuuming, like Don said, I forgot all about the vacuuming. Prior to people coming into the library, because nobody wants to hear vacuuming when you're trying to read a book, et cetera. They vacuum up. By 10 o'clock, he's gone. Okay, that takes care of, you know, what he needs to do per day. And then you're talking the part-timer that's in there in the evening to close the building up. So I mean, we have that issue as well, that somebody has to be there to close the building and secure it.
Maybe at 8 o'clock at night, when the library is closed, he's vacuuming the library and can lock the doors at 10. Is that so crazy?
So you suggest...
And maybe the library staff opens the doors when they come in. Is that so weird? Can't we figure this out? Is that so...
Well, I'm just throwing out what they do, Steve.
Come on, let's try to figure this out. It can't be that tough. There's got to be a way to do this. Do you think we can figure this out? A little bit of effort? Somebody can open the doors and somebody can lock up at night? Or do we have to have two people to do this?
I'll tell you what, Steve. Since you're so strong in this... Since you're so strong in this, I'll go along with you. We'll do a study. You go do the study.
You want me to lock up the doors at night?
I didn't say lock up the doors at night, Steve. You go meet with Allison and see what can be worked out to make this work.
I'll talk to her, but I know Allison's approach, which is, never enough.
Whatever the approach is, the approach, I'm asking you to go down.
I'll talk to her.
Meet with the...
I'll talk to her.
Yeah, it wouldn't just...
Meet with the library board.
We'll need to see schedule, you know.
You're going to have to talk with the library board. Meet with the library, we'll put this off until the next meeting. If you're willing to go down and do the study.
We'll talk to them. I'm not sure what study means.
But you know what I'm saying, do the review with this.
I'll talk to them, absolutely.
And I have no problem.
Sure.
As long as...
I'll be happy to talk to you.
Okay. Moving on. All right, Steve.
Yes, sir.
No, the other Steve, Steve Benoit, our emergency management director.
Yes.
We have the resolution for you. Could you please, I'll read the resolution, but if you could elaborate to the board as to what the resolution is for and what the grant is, please.
Okay, the resolution is for emergency management performance grant. And we put it for every year. We should get money. It's a 50-50 grant. And if I buy a radio for $500, $250 comes back. But the problem I have with the $250 coming back doesn't come back to emergency management. It goes into the
town funds, actually.
Town funds, because they said you can't have revenue. But I can pay $500 out. The Board of Finance should be able to find a way to put that in another fund. So if something, a big ticket item comes up, I've got the money right there that's, you know, I've already spent. The town gave me $2,000 for the year. But if I get $1,000 back, it doesn't come back to, for me to use again. It goes back to the town. And I'd like to see if we can get that put in a fund for emergency management, because they get 50% of the phone bill back, radios, they get 50% of that back. Anything we buy, the town gets 50%. I've been doing this paperwork since 9/11 and haven't benefited from it once. Yeah, you say, well, you got the radio. Well, I've got the radio anyway, but I spent out the $500. It would be a lot easier if we could get that money put in for the fund, so if there's a big ticket item that we need, a computer or something, okay, the money would be there to use. Instead of the money coming back and going into the town budget, I'm really not benefiting. Emergency management's not benefiting from it at all. And I just like to see if maybe the Board of Selectmen might meet the Board of Finance to see what we can do about that. Because that would be a great help. The most of the stuff that's in there has been purchased by a grant. The room itself was purchased by a grant. That was 100% grant that I put it for. Got it to build the office. And the furniture that's in there is donated from where I work. So I get a lot of stuff for free because I'm not afraid to go out there and ask for it. But all I'm asking is the money I put out, be able to use it again.
No, it's money you received as a grant to be designated for emergency management purposes.
I think it's only fair, but I know I can't have revenue. And that's really not revenue. That's money that they're sending back.
It's designated for emergency management services. And
that's what the grant program is for, is to improve emergency management functions.
And is there a particular format that's required, or
for the grant?
Guidance for this?
So we get guidance every year on how to put in for the grant and everything, and how to put in for reimbursement. And then you wait for the money. I just put in for 2014 money to come back. Now we're gonna do 2015. So they're usually a year behind.
Okay.
Which is normal for Homeland Security.
But is there a particular requirement for the grantors?
Yeah.
From the grantors, does it have to be going to a particular account? Is it designated some designation, or is there something
that they need? No, there's only certain things we can buy with.
I understand that, but do they need an account name that has to be
Nothing, no magic to them.
No, they think it's, they are, on the other stand, they'll come back to Burgess again, all the towns. But some towns it does, some towns it doesn't. I, you know, I really think that'd be helpful for Burgess again, to get that money back. If we need something, okay, now we got a big ticket item, I don't have to go to Board of Finance and say, geez, we need this this year, and I only get $2,000, and it's free, so I don't have any money to get that, and pay for the phone, and it'll be there, and, okay, go to Selectmen, say, why don't you just money to buy this item for Burgess again?
This is a yearly grant you get, Steve? This is a yearly grant that you get?
This is a yearly grant.
Okay.
We have to put in for.
Okay, what we, what I would suggest during budget time with the board is, when it comes to your line item, that we know that this matching grant comes in, that we appropriate X number of dollars to match this in our budget.
$2,000, fine.
No, it goes up to how much, Steve?
The grant?
Yeah.
Well, I think you're.
No, no, but to get around what he's talking about, the grant maxes out at how much?
For us, about four. The grant does.
A $4,000 match? Or?
Is it just a grant?
It's up to four, would have, they actually give us two and we spend two.
So, like I said, two would be fine. I don't want my budget moving at all. We can leave the budget the way it is.
If we can't get the Board of Finance to put the money to do the match, like you said, a revolving account or whatever you want to call it.
Let me ask a question here. Steve, are you asking for matching funds? Is that the question?
No.
Or just designating it as a?
Designating it.
That's what I thought.
The money that's coming back.
I think that's what the question is.
For Burgess again. I'm not asking for any more money.
I understand.
When you get the $2,000 with this, do you get it?
What? What do you mean?
The grant that you write, do you actually get the money to spend?
No. It goes to the town. The $2,000 that the Board of Finance gives me, I can spend. But if I put it for reimbursement, the reimbursement comes back and goes to general fund.
That's on storms, et cetera.
Excuse me?
Or whatever he spends it on.
Right, okay.
Yeah, whatever I put in for, I should be able to get back, but I don't. Emergency management doesn't get it. The general fund gets it. So,
I think Steve, correct me if I'm wrong. You're requesting that we ask the Board of Finance to establish a account.
Yeah.
Designated as emergency management fund that the reimbursements will go into.
Yeah.
And that in turn will be used by you.
Yeah.
It's similar to what the road funding is, where we know we're getting low SIP or we're getting this. And that it goes into that account where it doesn't, it's part of the revenue that we can spend on. That's what he's talking about.
The big thing was.
They're not allowing us to do that.
You're not allowed to have revenue as a Burgess man.
Right.
And it's.
We'll work on that.
It's a word game.
Okay. But this resolution, to be it resolved, is in order to.
To get the grant.
To get the grant and supply them with the documents and have the town CEO sign in order to complete the process.
Right.
This is a separate issue, actually.
Yes, but he was explaining how this, why he wants to do this. That's why I wanted him to explain.
Sorry, bad time to bring it up when we're talking about money.
No, that's fine. Okay, Town of Thompson, I'll make this a motion. Town of Thompson, be it resolved by the Board of Selectmen of the Town of Thompson that Kenneth Bosley, First Selectman of the Town of Thompson, may enter into, with, and deliver to the State of Connecticut Department of Emergency Management, Homeland Security, any and all documents which it deems to be necessary or appropriate, and be it further resolved that Kenneth Bosley, as First Selectman of the Town of Thompson, is authorized and directed to execute and deliver any and all documents on behalf of the Town of Thompson, and to do and perform all acts and things that which he deems to be necessary or appropriate to carry out the terms of such documents, including but not limited to executing and delivering all agreements and documents contemplated by such documents, dated at Thompson, Connecticut, the 6th day of September 2016, It's Board of Selectmen, Kenneth Bosley, Shannon Smith, Stephen Herbert. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Discussion?
I'm going to vote for this, Kenneth, because no problem with this. Just as a comment, I think you had this authority without this resolution, don't you? Anyway?
This is something that has to be...
We have to have a resolution.
Separate resolution?
To apply to it.
It's something that we do every year, Steve, as long as I've been involved. Steve?
It's one of the things they have. They give you a blanket resolution.
Okay, I think you have the ability to deliver all the documents you want anyway.
Yeah, but they want it officially stated.
But the documents they usually refer to, the grant documents, the reimbursement funds, the canceled checks, the receipts, what you bought.
Okay, no problem.
All in favor?
Aye.
Sometimes the federal government is this, they don't make sense on certain things, why they ask for certain things in the manner.
It's got to be free at all times.
You only gave me one.
Copy, my copy?
Yeah, we'll sign one.
I have a copy.
We got three.
They have them all stamped because they usually...
I'll have Renee do it, that's not a problem.
They've lost those several times.
Because you only gave me the one.
I only send one, but they always ask for a second.
All right, I'll have Renee sign it, and we'll be good to go.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Girl Scout request. We have a request from the Girl Scout dated August 30th. You have it in front of you, dear Selectman. Girl Scout Junior / Cadet Troop 65421 of Thompson requests permission to sell Girl Scout cookies at the transfer station on Saturday, November 5th from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Do I hear a motion to allow them to do this?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, next on the agenda, Republican Town Committee request. It was sent to me. You each have a copy. They are requesting, as you have read, that they feel that it would be safer to locate inside the transfer station and not interfere, to do the campaigning, et cetera, within the confines of the transfer station. Within the fence instead of on the outside. Similar to what we just did with the Girl Scouts, is what they did right in here, et cetera.
Well, this is just Republicans, right?
I didn't say it. I said it was from the Republican Town Committee.
But it did not specify which party.
I didn't say it.
It didn't say anything.
Just going by what you got here, Tom.
Benefit of the community.
No, okay.
This would be for all parties.
I would assume that would be the case. You're right.
Okay. Please allow us. Yes.
All right. You have it in front of you. What are your thoughts?
It seems like it makes some sense. I think that the people do speed along there. It would be tragic if someone got hit. So it probably makes some sense. I don't think there's any... I don't think we're violating any election laws or anything. Anybody have any thoughts? I don't know. Some safety issues that if somebody's campaigning and stops to chat or something and someone's speeding along, talking on their phone, I hate to see some tragedy happen. So, I think it makes some sense. But, what do you think?
So, one thing that I'm not sure of, does the Republican Town Committee or do any town committees have insurance? Like the Girl Scouts provide the town with insurance to go into the transfer station?
I do not think we have it, but would that be a requirement?
Well, usually...
What do we do on Community Day?
For what?
For everybody that hosts a Community Day on the 25th, on town property, at the ball field. Does everybody get insurance? Fighter?
I'm not sure.
So why is it any difference? Because we're trying to say, why do you have something there and not here?
But I think originally it probably was set up just because of the flow of traffic or the actual cars that are going in. I don't know the original reasoning for requiring that. VFWs and Girl Scouts and other people that use the transfer station provide us with their insurance information. It was a question that I asked because I'm worried about the town being held liable inside because just seeing how when volunteers interact with, you know, people coming in and out during campaigning season, there can be some chatter and things like that and people going up to the cars. I'm assuming that the same thing might be happening inside the station where people are going up to the cars. I think that's probably my main concern. Like, I don't know that the transfer station is a safe place in or out to be campaigning just after what I saw the last season, because some people do peel in and out. They don't look. They don't signal.
That's on the outside. That's what I'm getting at. It's very, very heavy. I visited the transfer station just the other day. There's plenty of grassy areas on the left, which is out of the way. There's grassy areas on the right. No, it's out. It's not near the dumpsters. It's out of the way. It's off to the side. It's not obstructing anybody's traffic. You know, there's ample room. It'd be just safer. In the essence of safety, I think it's the best I hear yet. You know what it's like.
I do.
Not pretty.
No, I do. And I think that by having people, when people come in and out, that stops traffic sometimes from coming in and out. So I don't know if by having people inside, if we're still going to allow flow of traffic, because there were people beeping to keep people going while campaigners were talking.
That's at the beginning.
So I'm worried the same thing happens inside.
The grassy areas on the left across from the scale is.
Yeah.
You know, there's people are leaving. They're exiting. They're not looking at a stop sign to look for traffic. I mean, there's ample room.
Is that where the Girl Scouts are right now?
I don't know.
Okay. Do you know, Ken? Or where the poppies are distributed? Where do they do it?
I think it's over by the swap shack.
So it's not that first immediate curve that you're talking about before you even go down? Or is that what you're talking about? Right, that grassy area, right, as soon as you hit the gate, there's like a little area where people go and turn.
It's past the guard shack. Past the guard shack from the left. It's probably 30 feet wide by 60 feet long. It's a big grassy area. And there's like big, huge granite blocks sit inside there. It's a spot.
When you said that you went to the transfer station the other day, did you talk to the maintainers there and see what they're...
No, I didn't talk to maintainers there because I figured I'd go both of the people in management to see what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
Take orders from
them. I think it'd be fair to talk to them to see, because I would be curious as to if Girl Scouts or anyone else who does some soliciting there, if where they do it and if there's a safe place inside, if at all, because... Not just for this request, just all of them want to make sure that the flow of traffic is, that everyone's safe.
Well, they do set them up in an area where there is no interference.
And they can't be wandering around. I believe there is some policy in the transfer station where children are not allowed out of the vehicle. Is that correct? I think that was originally, that goes back way back. Children are not supposed to be out of the vehicle.
I don't know if that's in their current handout.
Well, it was originally when it was first designed.
Yeah, that'd be good to look into because, I mean, we have kids that help campaign, too.
There must be some Girl Scouts, et cetera, who are there now. There must be some space that's safe, I assume. Otherwise, we'd be doing it.
Well, they usually set the table up by the the barter shack, whatever you want to call it.
The guard shack, for lack of a better term.
But it's the barter shack.
So then people pull over, probably don't make those purchases?
Excuse me?
Do people then pull over and get out of the car?
They go over to them, they do not wander over, they're not allowed to wander around.
Okay, so then they don't go up to the car?
Can't attack the vehicle.
Here, buy my cookie. Can't do that.
Buy my poppy.
All right. There's questions with this. My recommendation at this point would be, let me find out if there's anything anywhere between insurance.
We also have insurance that may be projections anyway.
We
have.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, let's...
But it's a fair question, I mean, that's a fair question.
Let me look at everything and see if I can find any history on this.
Before election day.
Oh, you want it by then?
And check to...
I will talk with the appropriate people.
Okay.
So when will I have an answer?
2 weeks, I'll bring it up at the next meeting. Which is the, today's what, the 6th, so you're looking at the 18th?
20th.
20th, whatever it is. Yeah, 14th, 20th. We'll bring it up to 20th. That's more than...
Only 48 days left election.
When you call the Girl Scouts too, to let them know that they received the, is that something that you do or Marie does? Could you ask them where they set up?
They set up where...
You know what you've seen in...
Barber shop or something?
Yeah, it's over in that area, and it's at the discretion in the safe area by Elmer that runs the transfer station.
Okay, never mind.
So, 48 days, you've got plenty of time, Tom. In the meantime, at the gate. All right. It's a good question. All right. We have a proclamation. Shayna, this is something that Shayna has done, which is the pain in public health. I didn't make you a copy. This is so crazy. That it's been done over the last several years. There's a lot of organizations that will ask for a proclamation for some worthy cause, etc. And we will do it recognizing a certain day or an event or so forth. So I'll make a recommendation and I'll read this. Proclamation, whereas pain is a major public health problem for children and adults and is the number one reason Americans seek medical care. Whereas the Institute of Medicine has found that 100 million Americans live with chronic pain as a result of serious illnesses and injuries. Whereas chronic pain costs the nation an estimated $560 to $630 billion annually in medical expenses, lost wages, and lost productivity. Whereas pain negatively impacts almost every aspect of a person's life, including the ability to work, sleep, and engage in social activities, as well as adversely impacts pain sufferers, families, and caregivers. Whereas the U.S. Pain Foundation's mission is to educate, connect, inform, empower, and advocate on behalf of over 74,000 members throughout the country and all those who live with chronic pain. Whereas the U.S. Pain Foundation provides education on pain management skills and constructive ways to cope with pain and find fulfillment in life. Whereas increased awareness about the effects of chronic pain result in better outcomes, increased access to good pain care and empowerment and validation for those living with pain. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Selectmen of the Town of Thompson, on behalf of all of its residents, that September 2016 be declared as Pain Awareness Month. In testimony whereof, we hereunto set our hand and cause the seal of the Town of Thompson to be affixed, signed the 6th day of September 2016 by Kenneth Beausoleil, Shayna Smith, Stephen Herbert. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion?
I have a question or two in that.
Go ahead.
Shayna, you're a member of this organization?
Yeah, and we checked the legality, if there was going to be any conflict of interest with it last year with the previous administration, and came back with the town attorney's finding that there wasn't going to be a problem.
Is the U.S. Pain Foundation related to American Pain Foundation?
No. Two separate.
It looks like you're funded by the same people.
We may have been. The American Pain Foundation several years ago disbanded and had some financial issues, so a lot of the volunteers came over to us as well as members, and the funding just goes where the nonprofits and patient-centered organizations are throughout the country.
Because the American Pain Foundation is being investigated. They were funded by, I believe, many of the same people that fund the U.S. Pain Foundation.
Yep, completely separate nonprofit organizations, completely separate programs from what that organization did. We started off as Connecticut Pain Foundation, and then we expanded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So with abstaining?
Awesome. It passed.
Okay. I didn't know what you're feeling. Okay, Beautify in Blue campaign. Shayna, if you can.
Okay.
I don't want to read this.
That's fine. So Beautify in Blue is a visual awareness campaign, because September is Pain Awareness Month. It's nationally recognized. So a lot of different nonprofits do different ideas. You'll see Turn the Town Teal, for example. In November, the nerve disease-related nonprofit organizations will turn things orange, for example. So U.S. Pain Foundation's colors are blue. So we have a program called Beautify in Blue. Our pilot program was in 2014. Which the town participated in, and then again in 2015 the town participated in. We had over 50 communities that participated last year. We're anticipating the same for this year. Basically, it's just a visual awareness campaign that honors residents within the town of Thompson who have chronic pain. So there's signage and ribbons that go on town-owned property and other appropriate areas that people are gained permission to do so by their town councils, mayors, first selectmen, or board of selectmen. The town of Thompson's pictures from the past two campaigns have appeared in Pain Pathways magazine, various social media sites and things like that. Last year I did the river trail here with the ribbons and some signage, and then did the library on the outside, and then some of the trees here at the town hall with maybe one sign again. So basically, the goal is just to raise awareness for those who are afflicted with a chronic pain disease. And we've had, like I said, several others already participating in it, and hope that Thompson will do it once again, because I do know that there is a huge chronic pain community. In fact, I was speaking to someone that provides social services to Windham County, who said that there's a huge need for more either support or programs and recognition for people with chronic pain, that they're looking at possibly doing something for that demographic or population. So I think this is just a small way that we could do that.
Thoughts?
I'm just curious. I was
I was reading, I read the numbers, 100 million Americans are suffering from, so one out of three.
Over 100, yep, one out of three Americans. And that doesn't include children. Those statistics come from a study that was done in 2011.
I mean, I don't see the harm.
No.
I still know at the end of September, there's a pickup of the...
Yeah, sorry, I should have stated too. So everyone who participates in this program has to sign a contract that goes to the organization saying that they're going to keep the integrity of the towns or cities or downtowns intact, and that they're going to be responsible for the signage and the ribbons during and after the end of September. If there's wear and tear, if ribbons are blowing all over the place, that's our responsibility to make sure that it gets cleaned up and taken down.
Okay. I don't see any problem with it. I'll make a motion that we'll allow this. I'll approve the ribbons and the signs. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye. Thank you. Anyone want to help?
We didn't vote on that.
Painful. I can cart you around with Landon and his radio flyer. Oh, sorry, we have...
Just one question to add to that. This is just thinking of what's worse, but you had mentioned like liability and stuff like that in a previous conversation. Well, what happens if I volunteer to do that and I'm hanging one of those things on a tree, a sign, and I fall down and it's just my ankle?
Are you saying, I don't ask anybody else to volunteer?
No, you asked for any volunteers just right now.
Oh, and just.
Okay.
I do it myself.
I didn't know that, sorry.
Yeah, the person who signs a contract with the organization is the person responsible for putting the signs up and down, and in the contract it does state that they're not held liable for any injuries that are incurred and things of that nature.
So if they get injured twist their leg on a tree root or something like that and sprain their ankle, who pays the medical bills?
I would. I'm already in pain, so it doesn't matter. Another reason.
Okay, moving on. Other business, road list. We can have our discussion on the road list. Leo, they give us a list of the 40-odd roads.
Yeah, and I was at the time, as I mentioned earlier,
and
what I was...
And we ended up with about... You felt the top 10 were for...
Well, there are
40,
there are 42 roads, and I'm not sure how many of them are going to happen or how soon they're going to happen. So I just say, don't do all of them. That's a lot of work. But how about the top 10? How about costing out what the top 10 is going to take to fix? And some of them require more extensive fixing than others, so, and some less. So what is it going to cost to repair those roads? Give us an idea of what we're facing. That was the question. And so I got back the least amount of work that could be done, only on the top seven, which was the amount of asphalt apparently required. What I would like is, what is it really going to cost to repair them? The total cost to fix them, not just the amount of asphalt needed. So, as I mentioned to Leo, you were there when I talked to Leo. If you were going to do it for another town, what would you charge them to do it? That's kind of a guideline as to what I'm asking for. That's still the question.
Okay.
If you were going to repair that particular road number 5 on the list, what would you charge Woodstock to do that road, that number of miles? If that road was in Woodstock and you were going to do it for Woodstock, what would you charge Woodstock to do it? Or Putnam, or whatever. I don't want to pick on Woodstock or Putnam or any of our neighbors. What would you charge them to do that work for them? That's the question. To try to, if you asked for some additional guidance about what I was looking for, that's the additional guidance. What would it cost to do the road if you were doing it for somebody else, kind of thing? What would you charge them? So that's the additional guidance I was trying to provide. And I thought I sort of got a nod of understanding that.
I understood. Steve.
Okay.
And what Leo did provide each of us today.
Okay.
Because I've been talking to him on a regular basis.
Okay. And I'm not looking to give him a 5-year job.
And he tried to, he did one road, which is the top road that is at the top of the list right now.
Okay.
Okay, which this is Reardon Road. All right.
Which he's already doing, isn't it?
No, the base is on that. Okay. And it's a road that we have to do in order to put the second coat on, a couple inches to finish that.
So is that on our list?
Yeah, it's on the list. It was the very first road on the list. Because you rated what he had to do this year.
He gave me the list, yeah.
Yep, he gave you the list.
Okay.
So what he did was, based on what he understood from, you know, from the conversations that we have, he went out for a contractor proposal from one of the locals for Raiden Road, which is the top one here, SAS, to pave that. For them to truck and lay 2,000 tons of Class 1 asphalt, they do it for $18 a ton.
Okay.
Not including materials. So the labor on that is $36,000, and that's a straight overlay, because the base has already been done. $144,000 for materials of the asphalt.
Okay, so this is that little scribbling here?
That's what he put in there.
That's labor, that's what that means?
$36,000 is the labor, which is, if you take the $2,000 at $18,000, would be the $36,000.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, that's what that means.
The $144,000 is materials, based on the 2,000 tons of asphalt.
This is what this guy's going to charge. This is what SAS Construction.
All they gave us was a cost that Leo gave you was to lay it and truck it in.
Okay. This is SAS Construction's quote.
Correct.
Rough quote.
Yes.
Okay.
And if you read, materials will be purchased by the town of Thompson from Killingly Asphalt. So the 144 is materials.
Okay.
Straight asphalt, 36,000, which comes up for the contract.
No, that's 144,000.
36 and 144 is 180.
I'm sorry. I thought the 36 you said was labor.
Labor to truck it in and lay it down. 36,000.
Okay.
Materials, they're not buying.
Okay.
We purchase the materials, pay for it.
That's 144.
144. So the job being done by a contractor for that section of road, to show you the example, this is what Leo provided, was 180,000.
If somebody else did it.
Correct. Okay. All right. Let's hear it.
I'm listening. Go ahead.
So then he went to what they call a state bid, which is what this is. DIP is a state bid off the state contract that the state has for various contractors. Okay. And it's fairly straightforward. Finish and install 2-inch overlay with the concrete Class 1. They estimated 16 tons more at $74 a ton. Finish and install a tack coat, which is between the layers of asphalt. That was $6 per gallon at 720 gallons. Furnish traffic control at $2 per ton.
Okay.
And the estimating all of that, Leo came up with $150,536 for a contractor, a different contractor, to do this bid, which is under the state contract. Because the state goes out and solicits contractors.
This is based on...
It's the contractor, which is... whatever the asphalt company is in Ottawa. I can't
remember. It doesn't matter the name. So
the Killingly Asphalt. That's where the material comes from.
Okay.
So that's them going out, buying the material.
Them being some third party?
Yeah, they're a contractor, just like, they come in and say to bid the job. Okay. They estimated the job at $150,530.
Okay. And what's the things at the bottom?
State certified. Oh, they got a berm price of $5 a foot. Handwork or whatever. Tack coat is $6. And Leo just used the... These are other options that are on the bid.
Okay.
Evidently, there's no berm that's needed over there.
Okay.
So then Leo turned around, and the last page is if Leo figured the way you were talking, he estimated at our cost the materials were $128,000. Okay. The paver would be worth $7,400, because you asked our equipment, trucks and so forth. The roller at $3,000, trucks at $15,002 to do the hauling, and the labor of $2,400. And he came up with a cost of, including the equipment, $156,000 for the town to do it. Okay, the discussion, and the stuff that Leo gave you previously was strictly materials, because he assumes the costs are inherent. We have the equipment, the manpower, and we're paying him 40 hours a week no matter what.
So the town...
So you would take out the paver, the roller, and the trucks.
And so let me understand this, though. So for us to pay the same road...
You're figuring in the value of the equipment.
It's $2,400 worth of labor?
Yep. Full crew at 40 hours per individual.
It's $2,400?
Mm-hmm. These are the numbers that he gave.
That may be. Which means, I'm guessing it's, he has a crew of how many people?
Full crew is normally 11 minus the two at the transfer station. He's got a crew of
eight,
nine with himself. And usually there's his
apartment. Make it simple.
Yep.
So 10 people. And they're about $24 an hour, plus or minus, not counting any fringes.
Yeah. That's not including fringe. No fringe involved.
No fringe. Let's count the fringes. So it's 10 hours? 10 hours worth of work?
Then his number's wrong, because he figured... I didn't figure the numbers. I'm just going by what...
I'm just trying to...
He's figuring 40 hours... 10 guys, that'd be 400 hours at 10 guys, at, say, $24 an hour.
At 10 people, for 1 hour, is $240. For 1 hour, at $24 an hour.
Yeah, you're right.
So $2,400 is 10 hours worth of work.
Yeah, so times that by three more. He's off. No, I said times it three times more. He said 40 hours.
Right, and this is only 10 hours.
It'd be a 40-hour week, he said, to pay that.
This is only 10 hours.
Yeah, he's wrong. I agree with you.
Okay,
thank
you.
Yeah, when you think about it, he's wrong.
All right. So maybe if we could take another look at it.
So, he, to him...
I'm not here trying...
No, I'm just saying.
But please don't understand. I'm not trying to...
Steve, I'm not trying...
He thinks, apparently, I'm trying to... And I think you feel the same way, that I am trying to compare him to outside. I just want to know how much it's going to cost us to do the job. I'm not comparing him to anybody else. I just want to know how much he thinks it's going to cost to do the job. That's what I'm asking.
See, he has a hard time in grasping the equipment, the man hours. On the job. For him, it's inherent because they come to work no matter what. Whether they're picking litter, cutting grass, whatever. So for him to do the job, he's figuring strictly materials. That's what it's costing the town to do the job.
But as I read this, it says it's going to take 10 hours to do the job.
No, it's not. It's 40 hours. 40 hours. It's a full week to do the job. So if you got 10 guys, it's $400. So his number is off there. So you're looking at you're looking at, for labor here, you'd be, and I'm rounding it off, you're looking at $9,600.
So I think, again, if we wouldn't mind taking a look at at that little list for me, for us, the townspeople, so what it's going to cost us to do the roads, I to know what we're facing in terms of road repair. I think he would want to know.
Again, he bases it on the materials.
I understand, but I would like him to think about it a little differently, which is the total cost of doing the job, not just the cost of the material. I understand that's the only way, I understand what he's giving me is only material cost, but there's more cost than that involved. And I'd ask him to think about the, like he was going to do it for another town, he would want to charge them for the labor too. We would want him to charge for the labor, wouldn't we?
Well, if he was contracting, I don't disagree with that.
Okay, good. Okay, we're not arguing that.
No, I understand the concept.
You would help him.
And I explained that to him. Okay.
Try again.
I'll try again. This is, that's why he came up with this, to do a comparison.
He just did this on, you said, this morning or something, so.
I got it this afternoon.
Oh, okay, so I'm gonna have a chance to look at it.
Late this afternoon, he was in around 3:00, at the end of the day.
I know this is new for him, so I appreciate that.
You know,
I'm not trying to embarrass him or make this insurmountable task, but I'm really honestly trying to understand what our costs are going to be to do this. And the costs are not just the material. I appreciate what you're saying, but it's not just the material, it is the total cost of doing the job, that's what I'm trying to get. That's why I tried to explain it in, if you were doing it for someone else, what would you want to charge them? You would want to charge them for all of your costs, including milling. That's what I'm asking. Fair enough? Thank you.
All right. Recommendation, I will attempt to talk to him again.
Would you like me to try?
I really wish that you would.
Okay, I'm gonna.
So that way you get exactly, you know, we did, we talked out very quickly when you caught him in the hallway.
I sent him an email also, but I don't know if he got that.
I don't know. I would hope that he did.
Okay.
I mean, he does understand computers and so forth.
Okay.
The best time to talk with him is first thing in the morning.
Okay.
I don't know what time you rise.
I'll try.
But he is in there a little bit after 6:00, and who gets started at 7:00, and if you catch him around the 7:00 hour, it probably would be a good time to catch him.
Okay, I can catch him.
And tell him you got what, you know.
On my way to the library, checking that.
Hey, there you go. But the library opens at 6:00.
He can give you a ride to the library.
No, wait, from the library.
Yeah, it opens at 6:00. That's when the guy is there in the morning at 6:00. Okay, back to citizens' comments. Do we have anything? Tom?
I hope the video gets a picture of that beautiful table that we're there. That's a relic. It's an amazing.
Really, well, you don't like it?
Well, I probably sat at that desk. You did too, probably.
Tom, you don't like the air conditioning?
I love it. It's grandiose. I love it.
Okay. Hearing none. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I want to talk about Steve Benoit's crowd, which I wasn't aware of. There's at least two organizations under the town that have a fund set up that he's talking about, and that's recreation and Thompson Trails, which puts on the fundraiser of the year, which they wouldn't do if the money was going to go to the general fund. That money should go to Steve so he can start building up stuff. So when there is an emergency and he needs something, he would have an account there. But further than that, I've brought this up many times before. Any office in the town hall who's bringing in money, not the tax collector's office, but planning and zoning, wetlands for fees, or the transfer station, who brings in roughly 60% of their cost every year, that money should immediately go right into a dedicated fund for them, so next year they're asking for less money in all these different places that collect fees. All it is changing bookkeeping. Could be done, not real hard, makes a lot of sense, and people would say, oh, $300,000 for the transfer station. No, it would be $120,000 for the transfer station. Wouldn't that look a lot nicer to say that's what we're really spending up there? Is they're bringing in money for the fees, for the recyclables, et cetera, to get your permit. It would really show what different organizations in town are doing, and if we just decided to do it all and say, this is how we want our bookkeeping done, it wouldn't be horrible. It's just that we've always done it one way. You see where that gets us in the world. Thank you.
It'd probably be a good time with that comment. We are working with the auditors department. Okay, so that'd be a question that we could pose to them as far as the accounting is concerned. Well, there may be a reason that it isn't being done, but since they're in dealing with Orla doing the final review for the year, that it would be a good question to pose.
And there'd be a different bottom line. You know, land and zone and wetlands, and maybe the assessor's office, I'm not sure if they collect these for everything, would be asking for less money, you know, in a few years. And the biggest one would be the transfer station. But Steve deserves it.
I'm not in disagreement.
I'll make a motion on this one.
I got it. We haven't gotten to this yet.
Right, I'm not sure.
I'm getting ahead of something. I've got a list here.
Town of Rutland does it.
Okay, anything else?
Yes.
I figured I'd save the best for last. I need the board to tell me who's in charge of the wetland agent. We had a hearing on the 20th, my last hearing. She was out in the woods in Rhode Island on Friday with Mr. Alan Rawson. She did a report. She sent a letter to Rhode Island, trying to get Rhode Island to fix the culverts up in there. Said it's polluting the Connecticut water. I have her on videotape saying, when we show the videotape of the individual caught diverting the water, that she doesn't care what happens in Rhode Island. It's none of our business. So after the hearings, we and the taxpayers are paying the wetlands agent to help the developer win his cause and go up there on a Friday on our dime when the hearings are over. And I want to know if anybody is going to step up and tell her to stop what she is doing. She also went as far as to tell some commission members that the road lists in Thompson are inaccurate and they're false. She should not be allowed to do that when the town attorney has already told her that it's not a road for the last 8 months. So something's got to be done. If I don't say nothing and don't make it public, nothing's going to be done. It's gotten to the point where I'm getting really aggravated with what's going on here. I'm a taxpayer in this town and I don't deserve that. I don't think the taxpayer deserves for her to go above and beyond, out of her jurisdiction, into another state, and then write letters. So I took it upon myself to write letters to Rhode Island and ship them everything that I knew, including the lawsuit, the appeal, the deposition. I sent everything to Rhode Island to let them know what is actually going on. Because she made it seem like the town of Thompson and everybody in the town hall is on her side. She's representing the town. And that's simply not true. And if the commission don't do their job, then they should always know. And so, they can't get her under control and rein her in, then I will. The dust has settled. I asked to be on the wetlands board and be appointed. That has not come back up. I'm sure there's still vacancies. In my eyes, you need someone like me people honest and straight, but what I'm saying is not very nice. So I'd like to find out who is her boss and who's going to say something to her, because these aren't accusations, these are facts. I have the emails that she sent to Ryan. She even sent it to me. So I don't know if she sent it to you, but we're paying her to do something above and beyond. This guy is controlling the town. He's coming in here and having our people to repay go out and do his dirty work. She is not his soil scientist. And she shouldn't be representing the town of Thompson in that way. She's not looking for the best interest of the taxpayers. We have spent $15,000 on lawyer fees on hearings that were a waste of time. So I just want to put it out there. If somebody needs to say something and bring it to their attention, because I am going to file a formal complaint if this keeps up, and we're going to have a hearing on that, because something is definitely wrong. And I want something done about it. So that's why I'm bringing it to your attention.
Can I hear you, Mr. First Selectman, ask When you say to Rhode Island, who specifically did the letters go to from the wetlands agent to, and then who did you send letters to?
Kathy Fox.
But I mean, are they commissioners? Are they?
They're all different agencies in Rhode Island. Because what we have what they call Buck Hill Management, Rhode Island DEM. They have all these different agencies. So she picked a letter of six different people. Tanner Steves, Bruce Ahern, Chuck Herbert, anybody she could think of, and sent it out to them. And I counteracted because Ron Gagnon, all these people affiliated just like the town, and they all have it. Well, it's not me, so she sees everybody. So what I did is I did the same thing. They have that video. They have everything that we sent them with the diverting of the water and all that. I just thought it was wrong for her to write a report, come to the wetlands meeting, tell them she wrote a report, sat there and said, I'm done after this. And on Friday, she's up there playing with Alan Rawson with two other guys that he hired on the taxpayers' dime. With a potential lawsuit pending. I don't get it, how she can do that without... She must have no time to do any other work. Talk about having too much time on her hands. That's definitely a problem. And I'm sick and tired. It's been 2.5 years of her spending our money. Spending our money. As I looked at application 15025, that was denied. It was denied because it's not a road. Then why do we have 900 meetings that cost me $27,000 and the taxpayers $15,000 if we're back to square one? And then I find out she's up there on Friday with Alan Rawson to Dallin, Rhode Island to fix the culvert. So I went around Rhode Island. I went to all the waters in Rhode Island and took my video camera. And I can find six different places exactly that way. How come they're not polluting Connecticut's water? Same with the swamp going towards the Star Foundation. That's not polluting Connecticut water. The water's crystal clear. He took video pictures of Christine Campbell's son that she presented for evidence, and she sent them to Rhode Island. And what she sent is Rhode Island water. That water goes through three stone walls in Connecticut. And it disappears into the ground. It does not go to the 5 Mile River, just like how it does down my area. Natural stream is on this side, it's on this side. No one can determine what's natural, what is Mother Nature created. My thing is, I thought on Wednesday the hearings were over. They made a decision. She's out going beyond. Everybody's back, the public's back, and she's up there in Rhode Island on a Friday with Alan Rawson. She does not work for Alan Rawson. I come here and go see Diane, I get slack. I come here and go to the thing, I get slack. What are you doing? I get questioned. This guy can come in, take our wetlands agent, make a trip out to Star Road, up in Rhode Island, and start doing a little investigation. It seems a little deceiving to me, and I think it's wrong. Someone needs to put her in check. If I have to bring it up again, it's wrong. Someone needs to tell her what to do, how to do it. She works for the taxpayers in town. She's not her own person to do what she wants when she feels like it. We have no control of some of these people. As far as I'm concerned, if she's not going to represent the town of Thompson in a fair way, she don't belong working here for the town people. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Anybody else? Okay. Moving on. I'll make a motion to refund the following taxes. Joseph J. Benkowski, $28.02. Richard D. Carrigan, $38.05. Financial Services Vehicle Trust, $539.90. Paul R. Gigware, I know I butchered that one, $21.20. Garnold and Barbara Hewitt, $12.20. Hyundai Leasing, $126.79. Hyundai Leasing, $227.19. Robert S. Janeski and Jane, $16.45. Again, Robert and Jane Janeski, $78.16. Louise and Louis Kapitulik, $120.22. Michael Krogel, $31.54. Richard Meneer, $4. Richard Meneer and Rothwell Meneer, $6.20. Nissan Infiniti LT, $23.48. Raymond E. Olson, $8.65. Robert and Ellen Prestise, $17.12. Anna Surazensky, $4.59. Tim Tremblay, $7.22. Patricia Tupac, $19.83. James and Tammy Weiss, $9.38. Eugene and Donna Young, $23.50. Brett Lovett, $14.46. Richard and Rothwell Manauer, $49.87. Stephen and Gwendolyn Rothwell, $8.58. Lucille and Bernard Barrett, $4.50. Dale and Margaret Smith, $22.33. Suzanne Lindley, $6.10. Gregory and Carol Tucker, $152.25. John and Johane Mahon, $9.59. Rosemary Chepkoski, $19.42. David Kress, $21.19. Dana Robbins, $103.01. Elizabeth Lawson, $6.85.
Second.
Discussion.
Good job.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion to adjourn.
Is that a motion or one motion?
I need a motion.
Aye, so moved.
Second.
Favor, aye. Thank you.